Okay, welcome back. Well, it didn't take long, and as I've been saying for months now, and as Ted Pike has been saying for over 10 years now, that they are not going to stop. They continue to come after our freedom of speech from more and more angles all the time. It is a multifaceted approach that we face now, and if any of these so-called anti-hate laws are passed, it's over, ladies and gentlemen. Not simply for programs like this, but these laws will be abused, misused, and they will be used by people, special interest groups, all kinds of special interest groups, to probably grind this country, what's left of its judicial processes, to a halt, or near halt, tying the courts up with suit after suit after suit. You're not going to believe what's going to happen if any of these things come to pass. They are ripe for abuse on a scale that you cannot even imagine. Representative Conyers has refloated a new paint job on the same old thing basically now, hate law, and Ted Pike has alerted us all to that today, and I wanted to get Ted right on the program tonight to find out exactly what's going on. Hi, Ted. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me so much, Jeff.
Sure.
Yes, we have been waiting with bated breath for the last several months because the big federal hate bill, this is the ADL's attempt to bring America into the same kind of hate bureaucracy that they have in Canada, where free speech is basically outlawed against federally protected groups. This has been in the House Judiciary now for more than 2 months, and beginning to wonder what's going on there. It hasn't been delegated to the Subcommittee on Crime. But anyway, the silence was broken yesterday when the Anti-Defamation League on their website announced that Representative John Conyers, who is the head of the House Judiciary Committee, did bring back into the House the same bill which was approved by the House a year and a half ago. That's the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. It's a much longer bill than the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which is only about 3.5 pages long.
Uh-huh.
That's H.R. 254, which has been in the House Judiciary. And I believe that that it may be that H.R. 254 has been functioning as a decoy to soak up literally millions of calls from very concerned Americans. And the strategy, I believe, has been to absorb all of those calls, all that fervor and that idealism and that anger until the new right is pretty much exhausted with the hate crimes issue, and then quickly Representative Conyers brings in an even stiffer, longer hate crimes bill and puts it into the Subcommittee on Crime where it is right now, and will shoot it back out through the Subcommittee on Crime and the House Judiciary and onto the floor of the House of Representatives before we even know what's happened. And with the maneuvering of Pelosi and her colleagues, she may be able to actually deceive many members, beleaguered, hardworking, distracted members of the House who don't even know anything about this new bill. You know, we've brought in a tremendous flood of protest against H.R. 254, the shorter bill, and they know that very well now. Oh, yes, they know that well. They know the Heartland America is against that hate crimes bill. But the strategy of Conyers and ADL seems to be now to quickly bring in this new bill, this even tougher bill, shoot it into onto the floor of the House very quickly before nobody has a chance to recognize this, before they haven't received calls against this new legislation. It hasn't developed the bad odor that the David Ray hate crimes bill had, and they'll say, hey, you know, this sounds good. You know, ADL told us this week that all this wants to do is just eliminate and punish violent hate crimes out in the states. What's wrong with that? And so you see, they have so much legislation of such a multifarious kind coming at them. The idea is that they'll just shoot it like through the House like they did a year and a half ago. So this is a time where we have to be extremely vigilant. Truly, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom right now, because if we allow this to go even into next week, we could see this bill on the floor of the Senate.
If it gets on the floor of the House, is it going to stand on its own? Will it appear as an amendment, an attachment to some other bill, Ted?
We don't know for sure. Actually, this legislation is so new in the Subcommittee on Crime, it doesn't even have a bill number yet.
Really?
So no, it doesn't. I called today, and it's so fresh there that it'll be a few days, I was told, by Conyers' office that before they even have a bill number. But we certainly do have the title for it. We know exactly what's in this bill. In fact, if people would like to read this legislation, we have the entire Senate version of this bill from a couple of years ago, S1145, at truthtellers.org, which is our website. And there you can click, go right from the homepage, you can click to the entire 11 pages of the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act and read my commentary. Every verse of that is, or most of them, I'm commenting on the very subtle and devious way this legislation will take away freedom.
So did Conyers grab this two-year-old bill from the Senate and just put a new coat of paint on it? What's the deal?
Well, you see, I think the ADL is quite desperate to pass their federal hate bill. They've been mocked since 1998. In 1998, they put the same legislation into the House, and the House leadership gave the commandment to all members, all Republicans, to vote for it. But there was a contingent of free-thinking conservatives there who looked at this bill and they said, no way are we going to pass what was called then the Hate Crimes Prevention Act. And they revolted, and in conference, even though I believe the Senate may have passed it in 1999, I believe it was, they revolted, and that began a trend in which the bill actually often had the majority of votes, but in conference between the House and the Senate, this hate bill would continually be stripped off about at least five or six times since 1998, and even in the last year and a half, we've seen it defeated at least several times. So this has been very frustrating, and I believe this original shortened version of this legislation was shortened, it was streamlined, and basically the ADL only had to have two things out of this shortened version. They had to establish a bias-oriented justice system in America, and they had to break down states' rights in law enforcement so they could unify federal policing powers with local policing powers. That, of course, is the definition of a police state. They cut off all the accessories, all the extra frills. But I believe that was their intention, was to create a mean machine there that could quickly go through, withstand scrutiny, and seem idealistic, but have the basis to put its foot in the door, ADL's foot in the door, so that it could establish a bias-oriented justice system in America, and then leave it to federal judges and judges all the way down to adjudicate from the bench and broaden this hate bill. So it went from just outlawing physical hate crimes violence in the states to verbal violence, you see, which means
whatever that means,
biblical criticism of homosexuality.
So
all these hate bills worldwide, the ADL always has the same strategy. Mm-hmm. They convince the legislators that this legislation is only about eliminating violent hate crimes out in the provinces.
No.
And then once this bias-oriented justice system is established, parallel to our traditional English law, then it's in the lap, you see, of the judges to say, well, what in the world does this mean in practical terms? Well, let's have a holistic approach in which we protect not just the physical safety of homosexuals, Jews, etc., but also their emotional safety, their tender self-image and emotions. And violent speech, verbal violence, is damaging to their psyche, so let's outlaw that as well. And when you do that, you have basically made the Bible, especially, into hate speech.
Oh, yeah. This new bill now by Conyers. How many measures are currently pending that would or could be used to affect similar kinds of new draconian laws in this country?
Yeah, we have three hate bills in the House of Representatives right now.
Yeah.
We have three. I should mention that the H.R. 254, David Ray, hate crimes bill has not made it out of judiciary. It seems to be abandoned there now. They did not put that in the subcommittee on crime. So true to form, it is served its function. It's absorbed like a sponge. It's absorbed all the rancor of the religious
shock troops.
Yeah, that's right. So they're going ahead, and we knew this was coming because I had a conversation with Dobson's right-hand legal analyst, Amanda Banks, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she told me and a friend in a conversation that this Conyers was going to bring this in very soon.
Wow. Okay, well, it's here. So three now in the Senate, or House, rather. They're not going to quit. They're going to keep pounding on the door. Keep pounding. We have to keep pushing it shut, or we aren't going to be doing what we do. None of us. And I'm talking about from both ends of the so-called political spectrum.
Yes.
Or all ends of the political spectrum, however many there are now. All right, be right back with Reverend Ted Pike in just a minute. All right, talking with Ted Pike about this. I think all of us have seen, those who pay attention to the news, what these so-called anti-hate laws or hate laws. They're not really hate laws. They don't endorse hate. They're supposed to squelch it, stop it, terminate it, block it, prevent it, and deal with those who dish it out. But this is such a ridiculously subjective concept to begin with. We've seen good men be kidnapped from their homes, literally, incarcerated. Ernst Zundel is now 5 years in prison after having 3.5, almost 4 years of his life stolen. David Irving was in jail. He's out. Germar Rudolph is in prison now, I guess, in Germany, about to stand trial. I'm not sure where that case is, but this goes on, and there are others. These laws have been corrupted, misused, and abused wherever they have been passed. They have no basis for being introduced into a so-called civilized world or civilized society, which already has more than enough laws on the books to deal with these kinds of issues. Plenty. We don't need any more laws. And again, this is going to be used by Arab Americans, charging their opponents. It's going to be used by middle-of-the-roaders, by minority groups, by majority groups who are going to say that they have had their feelings hurt, too. You watch. Wait and see. This is going to be an incredible mess, and will bring about the end of freedom of speech as we know it. People already fear-based, fear-driven, fear-oriented will now be pushed back further and further into a box, and it's not going to be anything but a catastrophe.
Yes. Well, you know, I had a caller tell me that he called Senator Kennedy's office, and of course, Senator Kennedy has been a champion of the hate bill for many years, and evidently their office had been receiving many of our brochures and calls from truthtellers.org, badgering them about how the hate laws had been abused, and their secretary or the receptionist staffer there said, "Oh no, this hate bill that's in other countries. It's been abused in other countries, but we're going to be very careful not to let the hate bill be abused here in the United States."
What a joke!
Well, the fact of the matter is, when we follow the paper trail, the legislative trail, we always find ADL of B'nai B'rith in some way or another stirring up and lobbying for these hate bills in all these countries. And they, according to my friend Paul Fromm, he said that ADL was lobbying in Canada 20 years before they finally persuaded the Parliament in Canada in 1971 to create the Human Rights Act. And yet its Section 319 was very quickly adapted, modified, made more extreme by the provincial magistrates all throughout Canada, so that now in BC, it is a hate crime just to say something or publish something that is even likely to cause hatred or contempt for a member of a federally protected group. You don't even have to rouse anybody's feelings or hurt their feelings. It's just the possibility now can result in a $5,000 fine, or even imprisonment if you continue the offense.
All right. What is the response? Now, their game, of course, is to continue to introduce these things until you lose your clout. people get tired of it. They're going to wear this whole thing down. That's the old strategy. We know that. People will just get to the point where they're bored with it. They don't want to hear anymore. But that's just human nature. Now in this stress-based society, it's easy to achieve that. So how are we going to stay on top of this and fresh? And my God, you've given 10 years of your life and then some.
Actually, more like 20.
Is it 20?
I got onto this in 1988.
Well, it's 20 years.
The Hofstra Conference in New York. ADL was planning all this kind of thing. And really, frankly, I had to wait through the 90s, that 10-year period. I didn't have the kind of national outreach I have now, and I had to literally stand by and watch some 45 states adopt the ADL hate laws. These are the same hate laws that arrested these Christians in Pennsylvania, and they're the backup. If the ADL can't get their federal hate law now, they're prepared to begin to enforce the hate laws from the local level. And there's some horror stories here in the United States, even of how ADL state hate laws can be brought into action. But what I think we have to do is we have to realize we are winning. We have held this back now since 1998. And the way the ADL and these Jewish activists behave is they become more and more extreme, more and more punitive and belligerent as they feel their power is increasing, and yet as their frustration level rises when they can't get the final victory that they want. We're finding the ADL several years ago in Philadelphia was acting in a totally berserk way, which provided me the pretext to get on the radio and basically put me in the position of instructing the nation about hate laws today. If they hadn't acted that way, nobody would have paid too much attention to the threat of hate crimes here, hate crimes legislation here in the United States. So it's all working together for good in a way if we can hang on and keep up the fight.
All right, we will. And we'll be right back with Ted in just a couple minutes. Okay, back with Ted Pike talking about we do this a lot, and I'm telling you, it's worth it. If we don't respond and we don't deal with this, this and I don't care, O'Reilly, they'll be gone. If you're fans of O'Reilly, and I don't think you are, you wouldn't be listening to here for information, but they'll be gone. They'll all be in. Well, everybody will be sued. Everybody will have their feelings hurt. Everybody will have a federal suit on somebody. You watch. This thing's going to be absolutely insane. We don't need it here. And then, of course, the special interest groups who control much of the courts in this country will have a field day persecuting innocent people.
Yes. It's the consequences, the long-term consequences, which goad me into action now. Because when I think of the very minimal effort of calling, for example, the 40 members of a House Judiciary, which
right.
I would encourage everybody tomorrow to do, set aside an hour. You can call them in an hour or so, maybe 2 hours. But those people are listed at truthtellers.org. We have the 40 members there in the toll-free number, which I might as well just give here. It's 877-851-6437. That's the toll-free number to the 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. Come to Truth Tellers. They're there. And just go down the list and give them the simple message. Just tell them, please don't vote for any kind of hate crimes legislation. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and many European countries. What we're doing at truthtellers.org is trying to make our vigilance and our activism just as painless as possible. In fact,
You've done a masterpiece of a job of doing that.
well, thank you. During the next half hour, I'd like to discuss these other two bills, these other two hate bills. But we have now three brochures for all three hate bills, and all the best arguments are there, best documentation. All you have to do at Truth Tellers is print those out, print out about 11 of them, and send those 11 brochures to your member of the House. You only have one member of the House from your district, and then they have about 8 to 10 very influential legislative aides from your district. Print out about 11 of those brochures. maybe one for each of these hate bills, and put them in the mail and mail them off. I mean, that's not a lot of effort.
No.
And this spring, you're going to dig a garden, or you're going to take a vacation or whatever. You're going to invest tremendously more time and effort in domestic pleasures and so on. But here we have the possibility of taking these tools at truth tellers. The members of Congress are there. The legislative aides are there. Everybody's there. And just with a few minutes, maybe an hour or two, you can strike a real blow against ADL and the hate bill, because these brochures, these attractive brochures, flyers are ready to address. You print them out on your computer. You send them in, and they work like yeast, like leaven inside of these back rooms of the House office buildings, as these intelligent and many times very sincere legislative experts and legal guides read this material and they say, hey, I never had it explained to me like this. You know, all I've ever heard is ADL propaganda on these issues. Here's a completely different point of view, impeccably reasoned and well documented and so on. So I don't think we need to be daunted by the multifarious, many-pronged attack of ADL. They're trying to wear us out, they're trying to confuse us and so on, but we, on the other hand, we're making the arguments against all these bills very logical, very easy to use to throw back against ADL and to discredit them, maybe even for years to come in Congress. But right now the real battle is in the House of Representatives. I'm not encouraging people so much to call the Senate, because I don't know of any hate bills that are sent into the Senate right now. But we have three major bills which I'd like to talk about now in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So the first was the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which Representative Conyers introduced, kind of the second stage of the hate crimes agenda there this winter. That's top priority. I would say that is the most Orwellian, the most damaging to everything that's sacred to our republic. So tomorrow, come to Truth Tellers, get the names of your House member and the legislative aides, get the calls going in, especially to those 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee who will be deciding the fate of Conyers' bill. Now, the second bill, we talked about this in our last broadcast, is Henry Waxman's bill. That's H.R. 984, the Executive Branch Reform Act. And this is a substitute for Section 220 of the Lobby Reform Bill, which was cut out in the last in January as a result of tremendous public protest. That was the work of Levin and Lieberman, Jewish activists who were trying to kill the religious rights, social activism, political activism at the grassroots level by crushing reporting requirements with $100,000 fines for those churches or right-to-life groups who didn't fill out every jot and tittle of the federal forms as they should. We were able to kill that. But now another Jewish activist, Henry Waxman, has introduced the Executive Branch Reform Act. Basically what that does is it requires over 9,000 federal executive branch officials to report the date, the content, the name of every concerned American who calls into Congress wanting to contribute to the welfare and the guidance of our government. These people are now to be viewed with suspicion. Each one of them, even one person who makes a call to the government, is now considered a citizen lobbyist, subject to the same kind of scrutiny and reporting that the Abramoffs and the high rollers of Congress are subject to. This is outrageous, because local lobbyist organizations, and certainly not average citizens, have zero record of abusing their privileges and their rights of petition. Anyway, Waxman's bill is very Orwellian, because it forces members of the federal executive branch to report even the smallest conversations at the water cooler, at a bar after work, even in pillow talk with your wife. You have to, the federal official has to give the name of his wife, the content of her conversation, as they are in bed at night and so on, and report it. And all of this will be gathered together every quarter and published for the whole world to see, probably on the Internet, without the permission of the American people who are calling into Congress.
Wow. How nice. How nice. All right, well, once again, we're going to have to get up and deal with this crap, or we won't be around. Back in just a couple minutes with Ted Pike. Okay, back with Ted Pike. So, Ted, have we covered all three?
No, not yet.
So we got two.
we've got two of them covered. The third one is the Department of Peace and Nonviolence.
Gosh.
Now, this is H.R. 808. It's an attempt to establish a huge federal teaching and kind of a hate crimes, not a tribunal system, but an educational peace activist organization. It's actually asking for $8.4 billion
is that
a
all?
Year.
Talk about a new bureaucracy. This is absurd.
Yeah, let's put that in practical terms. That's $8,400 million each year, and it'll have a peace academy, a 4-year peace academy. Its graduates will have a 5-year stint, and they'll go all throughout the world. Not only.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop the music. Stop the music. This is a federal government program.
Yes, it is.
They're going to have a peace. I don't know this. They're going to have a peace academy.
Yes.
You go, you do your 4 years, you get what, a doctorate in peace.
Uh-huh.
They're going to send you around the world like Mormon missionaries or Russian commissars.
Exactly. It's touted as the equivalent of West Point or Annapolis for the establishment of peace in the world.
This is communism.
Well, it's
totalitarian. These are totalitarian commissars going out to spread the gospel.
Yeah, in fact, they use Marxist terminology. They say it's to further peaceful coexistence.
Of course, it is.
That's what we heard back in the Khrushchev era. Anyway, what's interesting about this is it will not be just for these peace cadets to arbitrate disputes, let's say in the Middle East or Central Russia or Africa or whatever on the international level, but they will go down literally to the grassroots level in America. They will even enter homes to dispute or to arbitrate cases of domestic violence.
Come on.
In the homes. I mean, there'll be multifarious.
Okay, no more states' rights, no more community rights. The feds will come in and determine if the spouse is beating the spouse or they're lying or whatever.
That's right. And they will be able to go across national boundaries throughout the world to meddle in all kinds of strife and bring priests to them.
These are globalist commissars.
Yeah, that's right. Now, a conspicuous part of this Department of Peace and Violence will be to end hate crimes, to bring tolerance and understanding, especially between homosexuals and Christians. You know,
okay.
They're very grieved by all of this bickering and fighting about same-sex marriage and so on. They want to have understanding and tolerance and bring all forms of strife in the whole world to an end.
Now, who's behind this bill?
Okay, this bill ostensibly is an organization called the Peace Alliance. And
trace that back to the Ford Foundation?
Well, I don't know, but they have a website, and what's interesting is that what they want is rather spacey, rather idealistic, relatively speaking, but you get to the actual text of the bill of H.R. 808, and you find ADL terminology stuck in there, very, very clearly holding up gays and lesbians as the great victims of homophobic bigotry and violence and so on. Now, the truth of the matter is that gays are a small minority of victims of hate crimes. Places like Los Angeles and New York and so on, you have a much higher rate of hate crimes of blacks against whites or blacks against Puerto Ricans or blacks against Chicanos and so on. These gangs are not shy about using every foul epithet they can against their racial opponents in gang warfare.
Well, those are all hate crimes, every one of them, right?
There's a staggering level of bona fide hate crimes going on, and a very small percentage of them are against gays and lesbians. But what ADL wants to do, you see, and the language is there in this bill, is to hold them up as one of the great beleaguered, oppressed minorities of history. You see, the Jews are masters of playing the poor persecuted Jew card and the poor persecuted homosexual and getting, eliciting the compassion of humanity.
What is the website? So, what is the website for this HR 808 that the organization?
Well, the Peace Alliance has their own website. That's easy to find. I think that's their title. I don't have the actual website.
Right.
But what's interesting is ADL seems to have kind of hijacked this as a good idea, because there's a difference between the language by the Peace Alliance versus the obvious ADL getting on the bandwagon and spiking up the bill with their own rhetoric and own objectives and propaganda. But what it is, you know, spiritually speaking, in the book of Daniel, it speaks of the Antichrist in the end days, that it says, he shall by peace he shall destroy many. And this is very ominous, for those especially who respect the biblical prophecies, that we are now establishing a huge peace confederation. I think it was Khrushchev who once said, we shall launch the greatest peace offensive in the history of the world. And so what this is very ominous, but incredibly, do you realize that there's not one single New Right organization, no evangelical organization that is even aware of this, the threat of this bill, and yet it's preoccupying the attention of five different committees in the House right now.
Fine.
It's a big bill. It's a huge bill to establish, the equivalent of a West Point or an Annapolis or a Air Force Academy dedicated entirely to peace.
All right, I'm looking at their website. Big site. Got a rock and roll celebrity on the front with the Student Peace Alliance organizer Julia Simon Michel, M-I-S-C-H-E-L. She's the Student Peace Alliance organizer, I guess, nationally. Paula Abdul has a message. They're pulling in the names here. About Us. Boy, this is a slick site. About the Peace Alliance, State Staff Directory, Board of Directors. Let's see what the Board of Directors looks like here. Marianne Williamson.
Yes, she's the founder.
Hart Phoenix. Mike Robbins, Secretary. Hart Phoenix is President. John Gile, Treasurer. I don't know who these people are. The Peace Alliance campaigned to establish a U.S. Department of Peace with a budget of $8+ billion a year.
Yes, that's right. 2% of the military budget. But, you know, behind the scenes, I believe the ADL is behind the actual writing of this bill. They let these idealists, these one-worlders, know that they're the ones who can play hardball and get this bill passed in Congress. So they've got what they want there, which is basically to put the ADL in the driver's seat of hate crimes education in the nation and in the world, and make the ADL even more the ethics teacher for the nation, defining hate and love and bias and anti-Semitism, all those terms which are so vital to how we respond, and love and make war and hate and all these kinds of things. So again, the ADL is behind all of these bills. Radical liberal Jewish activists are behind them, and what we have to do right now is take action and speak out and respond as boldly, as preemptively as they are. And as we're closing, I just want to tell people, we've got everything you need. We've got all the ammo at truthtellers.org. We've got brochures on all of these bills that are ready to go, ready to print out. Send them off. As I say, number one priority is to block Conyers right now in the House Judiciary. The instructions are there how to do that. But after you've done that, go down the list. Go after the Executive Branch Reform Act of Wexman's. Go after the Department of Peace and Nonviolence Act. And saturate the legislative aides of your member of Congress, because when they get these flyers, they'll see your zip code on there, and you'll say, aha, here's a person who could vote out my boss next time around. I better listen to what he has to say. And these will powerfully counteract ADL propaganda.
Well, all right. So this is amazing. Nationally, this Federal Peace University would have graduates eventually all over the country, like commissars, They would go into people's homes. How would the local authorities roll over and play dead for this kind of federal intervention, though?
Well, it is so high sounding, and as I've made it clear, there's a real effort by ADL to break down local rights, states' rights, and law enforcement. Excuse me, and create a uniform and seamless unity of policing powers in America, which of course is a police state. I think that not only do they want to break down states' rights, but they want to override all sovereignty. And basically the Zionists are doing that in the Middle East. They can go into Lebanon, they can go into Africa, they can go into anywhere they want, and they even want to go into Iran now as if national sovereignty and boundaries did not exist.
Wow. Commissars. I'm telling you, there's a lot of collectivism here, and this whole globalist thing is just amazing. I still wonder who's behind all this. You know, there's so few people pushing this, Ted. It's not the majority of the people in the world who want anything to do with this.
Yeah. Well, I think without exaggerating, we're seeing the beginning of major institutions and structures of the New World Order being set up. We're seeing a Department of Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department that came in 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was amazing. That's to monitor anti-Semitism and reports thereof around the world. Not here yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
And we see Chertoff, a Jewish activist with a wife who's been a functionary of the ADL now in charge of Homeland Security. We see reporting now, the obtaining of lists now of the most concerned Americans who are calling into the executive branch of government by the thousands, perhaps millions, lists being acquired for further, I believe, for purposes of further persecution and even in internment and so on. We're seeing a big teaching organization, a peace organization, a ministry of propaganda. That's what it is.
It is.
Being
all
established.
Right. Okay. Ted, thanks. So very, very quickly, if any one of these bills gets to the floor, you expect passage in a word or two?
Well, we got to fight them all the way and weaken them before they ever get there.
Okay, Ted. Thanks. We'll be in touch. Thanks for everything, Ted. Take care.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Good night. Ted Pike.